Hello and welcome to Osteopathy Australia podcast channel. Today we're talking to one of our members, osteopath Nick Estimio. Hi Nick, thank you for joining us today.
Hi Irina.
Nick is an osteopath and a personal trainer. He has practiced in a range of clinics across Melbourne in addition to spending a year abroad practicing in Canada. We're very lucky to have you today with us. Today we're talking about mindfulness and the mindfulness approach to pain relief. And my first question, Nick, will be pretty basic. So what exactly is mindfulness?
All right. Well, I'll get started, but I just want to say, first up, I'm not an expert in mindfulness. It's something that I have an interest in, and it's something mm-hmm. that I've studied informally, and I use it myself, and I use it with patients, but I'm definitely not an expert. So there's more qualified people out there, but I know enough to use it in a clinical manner. And the way I describe it is in a really simple way, it's basically paying attention to the present moment in a non-judgmental manner. And the non-judgmental part is really important. So in the present moment, we'll have thoughts that emerge, maybe different feelings, different body sensations, and even awareness of our external environment. And mindfulness is just paying attention to this and not being judgmental. So not saying this is a good thought, that is a bad thought, or this is a good feeling, that is a bad feeling. Just saying, oh, I feel this, I think this, that is, and then letting that pass as thoughts and feelings tend to do.
Well, makes perfect sense. So let's now talk about pain and the nature of pain. It will be interesting to hear how can mindfulness possibly help to improve dealing with pain.
Yeah, so this is the question that we could probably write chapters and chapters on, and where the reason why there's so much emerging research on mindfulness, because it's been very promising in helping people deal with pain, particularly chronic or persistent pain. Now, before I get into how the mindfulness works, we'll talk about pain itself. And a good place to start is with a definition of pain. So there is an international association for the study of pain. So they're like the people that are the, you know, big researchers all around the world, and they get together and discuss all the different components of pain, defining it and such. And their definition is that it's an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience associated with actual or potential tissue damage, or described in terms of such damage. And because of that, we can see that, as contrary to maybe how we think, or a lot of people will think that pain is a physical problem, we can see it's a sensory and emotional experience. So there's lots that goes into us having a sore knee or a sore back or a sore shoulder, more so than just there's some kind of damage. In many cases, pain is not associated directly with damage, but we know that factors ranging from memories, stress, emotional state, hormones can all influence pain. And the same stimulus may be painful one time and not painful another. So with what sort of gets or what happens is that the nervous system feeds information into our brains, and our brains have to decide, is this dangerous? And if the answer is yes, and the danger doesn't have to be real, it just has to be the perception of danger, then all of a sudden we experience pain. Now, this is where mindfulness can be really beneficial. So we know that the areas that are involved in the production of pain or the experience of pain are also areas that are affected by the practice of mindfulness. And this has been researched using functional MRIs. So that's basically a live image of the brain. And what they'll do is get people in these functional MRI machines, ask them to practice mindfulness, and then they'll be able to see which brain areas are active during the practice. And like I said, the correlation between the areas that are very dominant in the pain experience are those that are very, very much affected by mindfulness practice.
Makes perfect sense. Thank you.
Yeah. So it's really, really fascinating. And to be honest, the research is only starting to emerge. I mean, mindfulness has been around for thousands of years, but in terms of applications and understanding it, exactly how it works, it's really only less than a decade that serious research is being done. And each year there's exponential growth, which is very promising for the future. And it also means that possibly a lot of what I'm saying now, I'll probably look back on in 5 years and kind of think, okay, well, that was a bit incorrect or a bit simplistic. So it's a work in progress.
Wonderful. So do you use any mindfulness techniques in your practice to help your patients? If so, please tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said in the beginning, I use mindfulness both personally and with my patients. So I'll start and talk about my personal experience. So I've never been, you know, I've never experienced chronic pain or, you know, any serious issues of anxiety. I've had maybe some minor depressive issues, episodes, but that's pretty normal, I think, for most human beings. And what I've found is that after coming across mindfulness, that those don't seem to happen anywhere near as frequently or anywhere near as severely. Where it's helped me in my professional life is that I'm more present with my patients, so I'm focused more on the interaction at hand. My mind is not wandering. I'm not thinking about my exciting weekend or what I'm doing later that night. I'm also finding that sometimes when in the past, when I saw a patient, particularly for the first time, or if they had just had a really bad flare-up of their pain and they were really stressed or fearful, or sometimes even angry, I would get overwhelmed. What I'm finding now is that I'm able to stay calm and feel a lot more in control in that situation, which benefits my patient because I'm able to then calm them down as well. And the final way it helps me personally is to improve my hands-on technique, because I'm actually paying really close attention to everything that's happening and have good awareness of that. When I'm talking to patients, for them, it's really great in that it allows them to go home and feel empowered, like they've got some control and something that they can do for themselves, and they're not having a reliance on me or another practitioner to solve everything. So that gives a lot of people a lot of confidence, which in itself eases fear and anxiety around pain. It's great because it's easy to do, or relatively easy to do, and it's free. You don't need any equipment. You don't need anything. You just need you. And based on all the research so far, we know that it works. So it's not something that is, you know, just a shot in the dark. It's really quite effective, and we know that. It's quite fantastic. And often when people are starting out, they have these conceptions that it's meditating or it's, you know, Buddhist monks in orange robes sitting cross-legged. And it's not that at all. Like, you can practice mindfulness while you're drinking a glass of water, and it's just simply being present, paying attention, and not being judgmental about what's happening.
So is there any way for me, say, to switch on my own mindfulness, say, during the day, if I need to?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things I recommend to people. If you use a smartphone, or even if you have a computer, which probably 90% of people in Australia do. There's a fantastic app that you can access, and the app is called Smiling Mind. And it's put together by a few different organizations, including people from Monash University. And I think there was some government funding involved. And it's got different categories. So there's kids, adults, professionals. And it's basically an app that goes through some guided mindfulness meditations. So mindfulness and meditation kind of go hand in hand. They're different, though. And then from there, that can give you that first experience of being mindful. And once you have that, it's simply finding some triggers throughout your day. So, for instance, if you come into work and you're working at a computer, you might say, okay, well, a trigger for me is every time I get an email, I'm just going to refocus. So most people are, you know, just constantly getting emails. You get that little trigger, and then all of a sudden you can use that to refocus and be present and aware, rather than having your mind looking, facing forward into the future or looking back or just on other tasks.
It's pretty similar to all these applications that remind you to drink water. So they basically send you the push notification saying, oh, by the way, you need to drink a glass of water. So it's pretty similar to that. So it's like a notification, when you do this or that, please be mindful of.
Yeah, absolutely. And that it's basically when you're starting any kind of habit, you just need a trigger for that. So you have the trigger and then the action. And in this case, the action is more so a change of perception than any physical action.
Well, thank you, Nick, for your time and for this interesting conversation and the insights.
You're more than welcome.
We had osteopath Nick Ephemia with us today, practicing osteopath from Victoria and a member of Osteopathy Australia. Thank you, Nick, and talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot. Bye.